And he spoke to them a similitude. See the fig tree and all the trees? When they now shoot forth their fruit, you know that summer is nigh. So you also, when you shall see these things come to pass, know that the kingdom of God is at hand. Amen, I say to you, this generation shall not pass away till all things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. Be seated. When these things begin to come to pass, look up and lift up your heads, because your redemption is at hand. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Another Advent, and how to prepare for the day of his coming. What possible prayer or penance to practice? What pain, because that's the idea, to impose upon ourselves, save that which drew God down from heaven to earth to start with, to find the one thing paradise could not provide. Pain, pain. The Almighty esteems it so that he uses it to undo all of the suffering we have brought upon ourselves by our sins, all of the suffering we willingly share with others because of sin. And even more does he serve himself of suffering a second time and seemingly infinite amount of times in order to make us more closely his. I'm glad I never asked God for suffering, said St. Teresa once, after she had a very, very bad night of pain. That way, he is obliged to give me the courage to endure it. I think especially with physical pain, St. Teresa confesses, she's just like a little child. I cannot think at all. I can only suffer. Do you find that to be so? And not only for the pain of the body, the senses, but for the head, mental or emotional pain, and then spiritual in the soul. I can only suffer minute after minute. And again, St. Teresa wrote to one of her priests, her missionary priests, it seems that Jesus wishes to establish his kingdom in souls far more by sufferings and persecution than by brilliant preaching. Still, let's take a crack at it this morning. I thought that I would preach to you today about that wonderful book. Have any of you seen it in the gift shop? The End of the Present World and the Mysteries of the Future Life. Teenage Teresa, she was 14, was enthralled with it. She said it was one of the greatest graces of her life, these conferences once given by a certain Abbé Arminjon at Chambéry in France. But on Friday, when we were praying the rosary together before the 5:45, I was giving out little snippets of St. Teresa for a meditation, and I came across one prayer that was not hers. She repeated it. She learned it from another priest, Father Pinchon. And it is this. It struck her so much, she said it often. Jesus suffered with sadness. Without sadness, would the soul suffer? I thought that maybe we should speak about suffering and sadness, this Advent Sunday. After all, when these twins come to stay at our house, there's distress. There's the roaring of the sea and of the waves, and we're all left withering away for fear and expectation, and it may seem like the end of the world to you. Advent starts today. Not Christmas yet, we know, but it's preparation and theoretically a time for prayer and penance. What is not theoretical about this season is the commonly accepted truth. Christmas is for children. Let's take that at face value and hasten ourselves, oldsters, to get in on Christmas, shall we? If it is just for children, remember, so is heaven. See that little way of St. Teresa again. What is it that takes a child to its mother more quickly than anything else? Why, it's some hurt. So the little one runs straight to her arms. And there, the pain, although it's not usually taken away, becomes easier to bear. In her arms, through the consciousness of a mother's love, the child receives something which she alone can give. And she may even say, there, it's not the end of the world. I know my mother used to say that. But no matter, the suffering loses its sting, you see. It becomes instead what? The means of enfolding the child in a specially tender love that otherwise it could never know. An intimacy which some people seek but never find their whole lives in one pair of arms after another. In a way, we could end the sermon here, but I won't, I've still got some time left, except that would never do for St. Teresa. Although our Lord, when she was suffering, usually had little or nothing to say, and that was all right with her. Let him sleep, she would say. Let the little baby sleep. He needs his rest. But she had a lot to say about things. She was nothing if not intensely introspective. It's the going to, you see. That's what matters when we're in pain. To go to God calmly, but as quickly as possible, not with agitation, because that aggravation aggravates the pain, and that it is that makes it sometimes almost unbearable. We are to go calmly. We are to go quickly. We have to run, and as it were, to flee. And then when we get there, the talking starts. But first, we have to show where it hurts. Now, what is the first thing when we get to God that he shows us? At the very start of the story, the sign of the cross. And when you get to church, it is, look, the crucifix everywhere. And when you get home, there is the crucifix there as well waiting for you. The cross, the most gruesome manner of putting people to death, which human cruelty has ever conceived. This suffering is everywhere. And it shows. How did he show his love for his mother, if not by sharing with her his sorrow, the one he chose for himself. St. Teresa writes in one of her poems, "Since on the blessed maid who gave him birth, darkness and pain the King of Heaven bestowed, how great a good must suffering be on earth." Now, we have to suffer, unlike she chose it freely for us. We have to suffer because of sin, with its self-sufficiency, its bitter spirit of independence, withdraws us from God's loving control. So instead of harmony, there is conflict. And from this divided self comes the sorrow and the suffering. And finally, sickness and even death itself. And whenever we're in contact with others, we're carrying that tragedy and spreading it about like a virus, that which we pass on to our children. And it is original sin. Where there should be peace and harmony, there is instead pain and a little bit of hell. And all of this is due to disobedience, springing from pride in search of some imaginary independence away from the Father's side. But in becoming man, God takes the very bitter revolt upon himself, the cross, the punishment for slaves. He embraces it, and with its pain, we have to imitate him in this. He heals us by its means, like the brazen serpent in the desert. He finds nothing more excellent than suffering, and the only thing he could not have in heaven, remember. And thus, he shares this good with us on earth, not only with his mother and his dear friends, the saints, but with you. Yes, even with you. It not only saves us, this sorrow, it sanctifies us. That's the next step. By joining us, by melding us to make of two one. How? It's the intimacy of shared suffering. That has a way of uniting people together like nothing else. I know some groups of priests who amongst themselves have their problems, but they've been through so much grief together that nothing will ever destroy that bond of unity. That says nothing in comparison with the closeness you are meant to have with our crucified Lord. You are meant not only then to show him where it hurts, you share with each other the sadness. And you're not alone in your grief. If you were, says St. Teresa, you'd never be able to bear it. But he enables you. He strengthens you. St. Paul says, "I can do all things in him that comforteth me." That was the chosen motto of the first American saint, Francis Xavier Cabrini. "I count all things to be but loss that I may know him and the fellowship of his suffering." He has that in mind when he sends it to you, the fellowship of his suffering. This element of intimacy, and I know no other word for it, in the arms of the crucified, draws Jesus to you and you to him. How does it start, this process? Well, this takes us back to the beginning, this first Sunday of Advent, back to childhood. You're the child. You're practicing the little way, and you go to God. You run as fast as your little legs will carry you, and you show our Lord your wounds. And then, having finished your tears, you talk it over with him. You work it through. And finally, I hope you will listen to him about how we bring so much suffering on ourselves, we really do. And then we waste it because we forget to offer it up. And you, childlike, you show your wounds to him. He listens, he calms you, he forgives you, he focuses you. Show him yours, he'll show you his wounds. You are in this together, and none of it is wasted. When, therefore, these things begin to come to pass, look up, lift up your heads. Your redemption is at hand. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.